Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and we're here at the Sirius XM Studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas. And man, we are loaded with Pro Bowlers, All-Stars, men of gold, standards so high that it's disappointing to have Clinton Spartz next to me. Good to see you, brother.
Peacemakers. We have peacemakers here.
Oh, definitely a peacemaker. Yeah. And Joseph Chalabi, thanks for joining us
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Love to be here. I love Meta.
Oh, I do
love
too.
Love the Lakers.
And our throwing Samoan at the end there. Bucky O'Neill, thanks.
You. Good to be here.
All right, let's get right to it because this is one of my favorite people in the world. And we share.
Oh, my God. He says the same thing about me. Whatever.
That's why it's one of them.
Whatever, man.
You are one of them. Right. You are. He's so jealous, this Clinton Spark. He sold like 80 million records and he really gives a shit what I think. I doubt it. All right. Anyways, Meta World Peace. Him and I have something in common. It's just inversely related. Not only is he super tall and I'm super small, but I got into sports because of technology and venture. That's what Lee Steinberg saw in the future of sports. You need to know technology and you need to know venture capital to be successful in sports. And that's why I got hired into sports. And Meta did the opposite. He used venture and technology after he got into sports because, like I said, he's super tall and I'm super small. Actually, he's super talented and I wasn't. But more importantly, I'd love to talk about you today as a venture capitalist, and you really understand technology as well. Now, today that we understand venture and technology, where do you see sports going in the future? Is it still in that venture and technology, or is there something else we need to learn?
Well, I was going to go to Clinton Spartz, Global Gaming.
Yeah.
Yes. Get familiar.
Did you pay him?
I did not.
He will take a bribe.
Great plug.
Great answer. We got our clip.
That makes sense.
All right. Nice to see you, Meta. How cool is that?
Well, it's definitely going in that direction. I mean, it's definitely going in that direction. Decentralization. We're removing dependency on middle people, middle men and middle women. Right. Removing all that and just being able to, gamify and play on your own time. Sports right now is no ceiling. There is no ceiling right now. And no matter who gets involved, new countries, new institutions, new founders, there's always going to be room, you know, for more sports. And that's the beautiful thing about it. You know, prior, you always had to wait until you became an Olympian to play overseas in front of many countries. Well, you know, you don't have to do that anymore. Some people never played or performed in other countries because of how it's all set up. And I think disruption is here. And that's the cool thing about it. And that's the cool thing about, you know, new technology, blockchain, and AI is going to just enhance all of it. Mm-hmm. We got to make sure we use it responsibly. But, you know, I think sports is just, we're at the tip of the iceberg right now.
Yeah, I agree. Is it me or does Meta with his blue shirt look like the coolest substitute teacher?
I think he coaches women's basketball kids. So that's he's the assistant coach.
No, but like when you're in school and he walks in, you're like, oh, Meta's here. World Peace is here today. We ain't got to do no work.
It's the exact opposite in his business, man. He walks in and he's like, oh, shit, I got to get to work.
I'm a volunteer coach, so I got to always wear a collar shirt.
See?
So one thing I think that's really special about you, amongst many things, is that you're a mental health advocate. I'd like to ask you, what does mental health mean to you? Because there are so many levels of it and people lump everything into one. What does mental health mean to you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that because you cannot lump mental health into one. Everybody has their own unique story. You know how people say every family office is different, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's case is different. Everybody's diagnosis is different. You cannot. Now, you probably can make a lot of money by just launching a drug or something to just take care of everyone. But that's just not reality. You know, obviously, you can't make it specific to everyone individually. But I think you'll have people, if you diagnose them, you know, you'll see that, yeah, maybe they don't need medication or maybe they do need medication. I think they never added another term because mental health sounds negative.
Right.
And it's open-ended. Is it negative or is it positive?
Right.
Also?
Yeah.
It's almost like, I don't want to go get help because it's so negative.
Yeah. It feels like something's wrong with you.
Right. It's just, you know, is your mental health positive? Is it negative? Like, are you mentally healthy? So I think like coming up with new terminologies, diagnosing people the right way, making it cool, so people can pursue their health.
Right.
Meta made it cool when he thanked his therapist after he won a championship.
At that point,
I knew, I'm like, having a therapist is the norm. I mean, if champions got therapists, like, I need to get a therapist.
Yeah, that was cool.
So we were all behind without having a therapist when you thanked them. Meta, how did you get so much money? Did you get a huge settlement from Mark Zuckerberg for your name? Is that how you started Yes and AMG? Was that what? I'm just kidding.
I know, man. You know, I'm still locked out of my Meta World Peace page on Facebook, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know how. Every time I try to get back in.
Wait. You know how we can fix that? Let me tell you how we can fix that.
Oh, God, here it comes.
Let me tell you how we can fix that.
This call set up.
T-Pain, who is an owner in Global Gaming League, is best friends with Mark Zuckerberg. What are you waiting for, Meta? Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Let's get our team.
Too many reasons for you to be part of this.
Let's get our team together. Meltzer and Meta back again.
Let's go.
You know how long I didn't have access to my page that's verified? It's only one Meta World piece. And by the way, I got kicked out of my page.
What did you do?
Have the name. He had the name first.
Yeah, name's Meta.
I need my page back, and I would love T-Pain. I know T-Pain. We got a song together, actually. Yeah. T-Pain, please give me my page back. But anyway,
get to the Global Gaming League. We'll do it.
See that we're on the same page with greatness. Meta, Facebook, Meta World Peace. Yeah. It's good to see that, greatness thinks alike.
He'll make it happen. This guy will make it happen.
Well, World Peace is the best part of that, honestly.
Yeah. I would like World Peace.
So would I.
And I love the vision he
has.
Does
anybody not?
I hope so.
I hope not.
Meta, when you were in the NBA, did you have that affinity for technology? Because, starting a technology, a consulting company for technology, I didn't even know you were that much of a leader in the technology space to start consulting for tech companies.
Well, I always was into it. My first major was going to be math. Then I tried architecture. I didn't really know what I wanted to do or why. I knew I wanted to build community centers, but what I did say was areas where athletes affect the outcome of success is areas where athletes are not successful when they launch their own ventures. On average, way above average, so many ventures fail. So I thought I had to get at the bottom of digital marketing and at the bottom of tech companies that's coming to us for advisory, for endorsement. And then when we get older, we want ownership, but we don't really add enough value. So then I said, I got to go back to school. I want to learn this space. And I went in blind. I didn't really know anything. And I just, got my hands dirty and a lot of adversity. Started to recode and did things that was like impossible and just decided not to give up. And, when you talk about 10 years of this, at some point you'll understand product, you'll understand like market fit, you'll understand the opportunities. And then you just keep getting better and better.
This was all post Lakers.
This is actually towards the end of Lakers. Right past my peak in my career, 2011, I started becoming really curious. And then I started really becoming curious towards the end. And then I tried a few things, failed. Then I went back to UCLA for digital marketing. I took some coding classes. I just needed to understand what I was getting involved in because I had no clue. So I said, I got to just dig deep. And I just went away. I turned down a lot of opportunities, to make, the different deals. You see athletes doing podcasting, coaching and stuff. I had to just turn a lot of those opportunities down so I could fully focus on something I was super curious about. And, now I'm across the spectrum of logistics tech, healthcare tech, sports tech, different things in the portfolio. Not all great, but, some are coming to life.
That's the one thing, if I had to point out one thing that is a trait about Meta that has been consistent, is he's always curious and wants to learn. He wants to know what that thing is you're talking about.
And he became an architect just without a degree because he is an architect of so many things, including a new sports agency, which at any time, Meta, I can help you with as well. I've paid a lot of dummy tax for years in that agency.
Oh, yeah. I would love some of that.
Meta, we still got to connect. I'm going to text you after this show.
We'll have him out to the studio.
Come out to the studio with me and Dave. Dave and I have a studio in Orange County now. Been meaning to get you out there.
It'll be awesome.
Oh, nice. Yeah, invite me. I love to come to Orange County.
I have to say
rich,
something about
I feel rich when I'm in Orange County.
I got to say something about that painting behind you.
Is this going to be like a Goodwill Hunting thing?
No, it's just
it you seems know, like a guy in a storm that's about to kill himself.
it's a really does that painting have any significant meaning for you? Because it comes off really well.
Well, you know, I had it for like a couple of years. I love art. My second major was art, actually. And this painting,
good question.
I mean, it looks like the sun is setting, and it's like not abstract. I forget the name of this type of painting, but I use it at all my interviews. Every time I'm on TV,
I can feel it, bro.
I like it. It's kind of warm.
Yeah.
I really like it.
It shows you can feel the significance behind it. And when you're standing in front of it, it's really powerful, actually. So just wanted to add that little tidbit. But the thing that I want to ask you about is really about this idea of reinvention. You know, like almost every other day I have somebody come to me and say, well, how do you deal with reinventing yourself? And how do you deal with, you know, you've had your life in a certain way and you know that there's things calling you forward, but how do you let go of the things that have been in order to move into what's next? For me, just witnessing a little bit I know about you, it seems like you're a master of reinvention. I'm curious what your cues are. What are the cues that happen for you both internally and externally where it's like, oh, this is time for me to move in this direction, or this is time for me to move away from that? And then how do you reconcile the change in the past without like getting stuck in, oh, this is who I used to be and this is who I need to be moving forward?
I know. I mean, if you're just doing too much and having to pick something, and trying to stay positive. The main thing is like trying to stay positive. What am I going to do with my life? And I got to pick something, because if I don't, then time is the ultimate like killer or equalizer, or it could work against you, especially living in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. As I thought about that and where I want my life to go, it led me to saying, okay, what do I like? And some of the things I like are people on TV that saw me on TV, they wouldn't see it that way. They were like, wow, you like tech or you like this? And why not just do a reality show or do a podcast and just, you know, go crazy on it and make money doing it that you actually can, right? And I had to turn down those opportunities. I said, you know, I want to meet new people. I want to try something different, and I want to launch businesses. And I have no clue. And so, you know, for me, it was about when people would see me in L.A., when I downgraded my life a little bit, and they would see me at coffee shops with glasses and a laptop, looking like a crazy man, just running around LA, just working, just kidding. You know, when I first started becoming an entrepreneur, it was like, okay, go to a coffee shop, go grab some coffee, right? Break out your laptop, block everything out, and just get to work, right? And you know, I would wear the same clothes every day and, you know, not cut my hair. I have these big glasses on, broke, foggy glasses, dirty glasses, and then I forgot that people would know me in LA. I was so locked in.
I forgot.
People would be like, "Hey, can I have your autograph? Can I take a picture?" And I'd be like, "Okay, yeah, real quick, you know." But I think I had to become. When you look at 99% of the successful people, they went to college, right? They went to school. 1% probably, you know, made it. You know, maybe Bill Gates or Zuckerberg or even Jay-Z or people
that Sparks.
Just, you know. Twin sparks, right? You know, when you're in high school, successful. but you know, I didn't want to leave it to chance, and I said, you know, I gotta be like everyone else. I gotta follow the footsteps of all the other entrepreneurs out there.
Nice.
That are just grinding it. They're waiting at restaurants. They're doing everything they can do until they get that break. And I said, I'm not gonna take any shortcuts. And then when you do that every day, it becomes a habit. I started traveling by myself, you know, and, you know, I even at one point in time, I would take a lot of economy flights. I used to fly first class, but I wanted to meet people. So one of the things was I said I couldn't continue to sustain a first class flight 3 times a week because I was literally on a plane. So I started to, like, you know, get a lot of flights. And what I realized was I wasn't flying private, but I was meeting tons of people, Omaha, Idaho, just traveling, meeting people. And then that's how I built my network up, you know.
But Matt, you weren't just meeting people at your size in the middle seat at Southwest. You were getting intimate with the two people next to you. I remember sitting next to you on a Southwest flight. I knew everything about you, including what you had for breakfast. So no, but people don't see Southwest. That side of you. I think the most remarkable thing, as you've known Matt as I have for a while, is the depth of his character and the personality, because people, the one thing I think is so fun is they believe what they saw on TV and they take a snapshot of who you are.
Yep.
And usually in the media, it's the snapshot of your worst moment, right? You would think Ryan Leaf, for example, got pissed off in the locker room of the San Diego Chargers 1,000 times because they kept replaying that. And I know that kid. That's not who he is. He has a lot of depth and he has a lot of things. And Meta is truly this renaissance man. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that we can learn from him. He's always showing up for other people as well. And Meta, I just want to say, we're really excited to have you as the soon-to-be owner of my team with me at the Global Gaming League. Absolutely. Investor, let's advisor, we'll work on your sports agency. We're going to change the world.
Yes.
And get his Facebook page back.
Access
is coming. Let's go, T-Pain. Please. Everybody here, let's give a big round of applause for Meta World Peace.
Get familiar, baby.
Thank you, brother.
I see you later.
He's amazing. We have the best here. It's all gold on Office Hours.